Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Skinny. I'm Shazan, and you were just listening to Thrift Shop by Macklemore. I was listening to that this morning, totally getting down to it. But this is the song that blew the doors open and made thrift shopping such a cool thing to do in a field that has negative connotations or this stigma. But this song right here, I mean, I never ever thought of it in a negative way, but this song made it super cool and I love it. And today we're talking about secondhand doesn't mean second class whatsoever at all. So there used to be this, this huge negative connotation to secondhand shopping, or being someone that wore or had secondhand furniture for that matter. And even though times and perspective has changed drastically over the years, as a matter of fact, honestly, the truth is there's still this stigma that goes with anything that's secondhand. So here's a simple breakdown of secondhand. Secondhand is something that was previously owned by someone else, and that's it. That's a simple breakdown of it. But the idea of secondhand, people have this become something that is so like something to be ashamed of. You know, if it's thrift stores or vintage stores have more of a flair, or consignment, resale, you know, all of these stores fall under secondhand retail. And so on the show today, the unveiling of this multi-billion dollar industry that so many people think should be frowned upon, and hopefully the removal of the stigma that's so not necessary. I have this quote from Oscar Wilde, and he's a well-known Irish poet, and he actually became London's most popular playwright, but this is like way back in the late 1800s. But that shows you how long thrifting has been around. His quote is, "Sometimes the poor are praised for being thrifty, but to recommend thrift to the poor is both grotesque and insulting. It is like advising a man who is starving to eat less." So here it is. Secondhand doesn't mean second class, even though so many people think that. And I mentioned this because I want to touch base on the stigma and the negative connotation that goes with resale and secondhand. There are two areas that are usually looked at, really. The person who shops resale, and then the actual things that are secondhand. So some people see it as like it's junk or garbage, and, you know, that's for poor people, and I could never do that, and on and on and on. There's just so much of that out there. And because of that, over the years, some people see this as a way of life to be ashamed of and to be kept on the hush hush. And for many people, it's like a secret society. Like, I'm never telling anyone where I bought my dress, or I hope no one ever asks me, you know, where I got this or that, or they'll just like they'll just plain lie and make it up. I don't remember where I got this from, or whatever it is. But because they don't want them to know that it was, you know, resale or thrift, this is what people do. But this is not something to be ashamed of, at least not anymore. And if you are, you don't need to be, let me just tell you. And, you know, research shows that this like resale secondhand secret society is a multi-billion dollar industry. And it's actually rising faster than any other traditional retail segment. Like, you know, your traditional, like you have the outlets or the regular retail stores. This industry is actually a whole lot bigger, and it's getting bigger on a faster rate than the other ones. And why? It's because consumers from all walks of life and financial brackets have become a lot more conscientious. And so they're, you know, more conscious shoppers and spenders. And at first, it used to be the idea of you going into the thrift store, or you buying something or wearing something or having something in your home from the thrift store, was something that was like frowned upon, or to be frowned upon, or to feel ashamed of. And with time and advancement and technology and access to so many things, whether it's over the internet, you can do thrifting over the internet, which is fantastic. You know, that has changed a lot, not completely, but it definitely has changed a lot. And, you know, I definitely have a personal experience with this. I moved to the States from Jamaica when I was in elementary school. And we were starting over in this new country from scratch. And my mother was introduced by one of her friends to thrift stores. And at my age, I didn't even know the difference between a thrift store and a regular department store. All I knew is that all of the stores in America were huge. Everything was huge. The supermarkets were huge. Department stores are huge. Everything, restaurants, everything was just like gigantic. And so, you know, I couldn't tell the difference. I had no idea, much less to look at it from a different perspective. And, you know, so we went and got the things, whether it's shopping or things that we needed to like furnish our home. But one of the things I do remember is that my mom would always carefully and purposefully like pick things out for us. And she made it so much fun. So we all had a ball doing it, my sister and I. And maybe I had more of a ball than she did actually. But we would repurpose things and altered and like reinvented, whether it's furniture or clothes and just about everything. And it was always so, so exciting. It was like this exciting process. And I enjoyed doing it with my mom. So I didn't, by no reason at all would I have thought that this was something to be ashamed of. But my rude awakening came when I went to school here in the States for the first time. And just in conversation, I just so happened to mention something that I was wearing that we had gotten it from the thrift store. And immediately it's like a complete hush. And, you know, then the looks and the turned up noses and all of these different things. But I became the butt of everyone's joke. And I just couldn't get it at first. I didn't get it at first. And then I realized that, you know, there must be something shameful about this thrift shopping. And I thought it was so much fun and it was so great. And it was always like a positive experience. But then with that experience being teased about it, and then, you know, people laughing at your clothes and where'd you get that from? You know, your mother probably bought it from a thrift store. You know, those things as a kid, it was like 9 years old. After a while, it makes you feel like you want to go into like a little hole. But one thing I did know is that this was what my mom could afford. I knew that because I was fully aware that we're like starting over, and that's what made it exciting because we're starting from scratch and making all these different things our own. And I knew that the things that she got for me, that I love them. So I just kind of had to separate. It's like you separate your mind. You know that when you're going to go to school, that you're going to be teased, because I knew that. I knew every day I was going to be teased for one reason or another, being from a different country, accent. My clothes are now considered to be funny just because they heard me say that something came from a thrift store. And so I dealt with that. But on the other hand, I would never have thought of complaining to my mom to make her feel like I wasn't happy with what it was, or, you know, to make it seem like I was ungrateful. Because again, though I didn't know and get, you know, fully understand the difference between the department store and a thrift store here in the States, I did understand the difference between being grateful and ungrateful. And I wasn't going to do that. My mom wouldn't have had it anyway. So that is why I always say secondhand doesn't mean second class. And this is because the things you wear and own, the store that you bought it from, and the price tag that's attached to it does not in any way, shape, or form dictate or have anything to do with your value as a person. And sometimes it's, you know, it can be a bit challenging for people to separate those things. So my $10 or $20 resale dress doesn't make me any less of a person than someone who has on a $1,000 dress. And that's just the way that I think. And I think that that is something that I grew into over the years. And it's something that I want to see more people feel that way in the world, from young girls to older women, you know, because as I say all the time, I have a quote of my own where it's like, confidence is the key to making any look spectacular. It has nothing to do with the price tag. So let me tell you about this multi-billion dollar resale industry that's so hush hush. Did you know that when I was like reading up this stuff and researching, there's almost 20% of Americans that shop thrift stores every year. And here are three of the many reasons that I have. One of the reasons is this is a major growth because people are more and more with time, and as we evolve and become more aware and things are more easily accessible, information, not things, but information is more easily accessible for us to know what's going on in the environment and in the community and in just so many other areas. We're becoming more and more passionate about different areas that are important to us. So people are becoming more passionate about the environment. And you may be wondering, what does the environment have to do with the thrift store? And what does that have to do with this? So if that's what you're asking, listen to this. Research shows that 85% of all the clothes that gets donated. Now picture this, 85%, people donate clothes all the time. 85% of all of these clothes that get donated ends up in a landfill. So that only leaves 15%. So 15% of what we donate ends up being recycled. And many people view resale shopping and thrift and vintage and, you know, secondhand, many people view this as an opportunity for recycling and repurposing, and consumers get more use out of the clothes before it ends up with the landfill. So as this is growing from that point of view, it's something where, you know, it's getting more use of something before it ends up in the garbage. And that reminds me, let me tell you this little did you know fact I found too, that one third of women consider clothes old after wearing it only 3 times. That's crazy. So if you consider it old, usually when we're doing this revolving door in our closet where we're taking things out and donating it, throwing it away or giving it away, we've only worn it, or one third have worn it 3 times. And then the other little thing is there was a study that was done on 2000 women. And it shows that typically when you buy something, you probably have worn it 7 times. And then it sits there if you give it away or not. All right. So moving back, when I saw it, I was like 3 times and then that's it. But here it is that, again, from the environmental point of view, that's one of the reasons why this industry is growing so quickly. And the opportunity, again, for repurposing things and getting more use out of it is something that's rising not only in the fashion community, but in all the other areas. People are paying more attention to this. And a second reason is the continuous rise of value-conscious consumers nowadays, like intelligent shopping, and the fact that resale and secondhand doesn't equate to junk clothes or furniture. And the price point, I mean, you're buying things when you're buying something that's resale. You're buying things that have probably never been worn because, as I told you before, you know, it only means that it was owned by someone before. It doesn't mean that it's been used or tarnished or worn to death or it's garbage or junk. It just means that this was something that was previously owned and now you're the second, third, or whatever number owner of this thing. So here it is that the price point is really important, and the fact that you can purchase never been worn or designer or one of a kind or amazing deals on any given day is a win-win. And so that's another reason why it's growing so tremendously. And last but most certainly not least is the opportunity for designers and fashionistas like you and I, whether you think you're one or not, and everyday consumers to have access to like this huge outlet of vintage and resale, consignment, and, you know, secondhand clothing. All of this falls under it, but it's used for different things. Like designers use it for inspiration for their collections. Fashionistas use it for, you know, this is like the go-to where you're shopping, creating your unique style for a great price. And it supports individuality and unique style versus like the cookie cutter mass production dressing that some may choose to go with and then some may not. And here's the option. I was going to say option and opportunity altogether. Here's the option for you to do more individual, you know, styling for yourself and finding your own voice. For such a great price and more style options, and you feel good, and it's, you don't have to feel ashamed about shopping resale. And no matter how much money you have, whether you have a big bank account or a small bank account, this is something that you have access to, and it's such a great opportunity. So of course, you know that I can't leave you without giving you a few quick tips on how you can be resale chic and also how to find the great finds and separate the gems from the junk. So first of all, to be successful at this, you have to be open-minded and realize, again, like I told you before, it has nothing to do with your value as a person if you're buying something that's secondhand or resale or vintage by any means at all. So give yourself a little bit of time, and precision and attention to details is key to success in resale. And the second thing, the key, I'm giving you a few keys today. The second key is looking for things that are like catching your eye. You know, it's very important to, when you're shopping, just on a whole, whether it's resale or not, to go for things that you love. Don't just buy things that don't reflect you, because then they kind of just end up in your closet, or you wear them and you don't really love how you look. But here are some of the things, like eye-catching things when you're shopping resale. Like, you got to check it for the fabric quality. Like, you know, the zipper, make sure it's working, make sure that your seams are in good condition, your buttons aren't missing, and like the pockets don't have holes in it. And then if your answers are all good in this department and it's something that you love that caught your eye, then that's when you head to the dressing room. But at the same time, remember, always, always remember this. If you're able to fix any of these like little minor flaws yourself, and or you have someone that can do it in a cost-effective way, like your alterations and stuff, don't leave it if you love it. So that's something to remember. Remember, in resale, it's not the same rules that apply as your typical department store with returns and exchanges. When you get it, some places may give you a store credit, but a return is typically not something that happens in thrift and resale. So here's your third key. So this is your dressing room inspection questions. Is it a flattering fit? Is it a true reflection of my style? Is it a good cut for you, for your shape? You know, because the most important thing when you're shopping is to shop for the shape that you have, not the size or the number on your garment. And is it worth the price? Is the fabric in good condition? You know, you look for little things. Is there like friction areas, which is between your thighs? Are those areas worn out when you're buying pants, you know, t-shirts? Are they, the elasticity, is it good or not? And those are the things that you ask yourself in the dressing room as you're looking over. And then fourth, you want to scout different neighborhoods to find the right resale store for you, because each store has like a different voice or a different signature, and it reflects different tastes and styles. So go outside of your neighborhood and just scout places and neighborhoods, and that's how you find the unique things. This is something that I definitely wanted to say to you too, where in reference to the stigma or negative connotation, don't feel like you're obligated. If this is something that you so personally choose not to share with people, so be it. If you don't want to share where you got something that you have or something that you wear, then that can continue to be your little secret, and that's fine. But know within yourself that it, again, has no reflection on your personal value. If this is something you choose to do or you need to do because of your circumstances, then so be it. Because again, secondhand doesn't mean second class. So here's a quick recap so you know the keys that I told you. To be successful, you have to keep an open mind and pay attention to the details. The second one is go for things that are catching to your eye catchers, but check the quality and all the details on the garment. The dressing room questions, inspection of, does this work for my body? Is this flattering? Do I love it? The condition of everything is good. Don't leave it if you love it, because the alterations you can probably do yourself or have someone else do for you. Make sure it's cost effective and makes sense. And then fourth, scout your different neighborhoods to find the fit for you, the style, the store style that works for you. And again, don't feel obligated to share where you bought or how much you spent on anything you have or wear if you so choose. Always, always remember, secondhand does not mean second class. And you deserve and have the right to live a beautiful and empowered life. No matter how much money you make, no matter how much money you have, no matter if you shop resale, secondhand, vintage, thrift, or the regular department stores, none of that matters. You're amazing, you're beautiful and wonderful. And you've been listening to The Skinny with me, Shazan. Thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned for next week's podcast. Bye. What? Oh!